Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Welcome to the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City. Thanks for tuning in on the NOLA Drinks Show. This is an ongoing investigation here on the NOLA Drinks Show, as it always is. It's never a closed investigation on the NOLA Drinks Show, only an ongoing investigation. Happy to have you listening. Thanks, folks. If you're listening on the radio here in New Orleans, I really appreciate it. And if you're listening in podcast land on whatever day it may be after Thursday, I appreciate you listening as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Friends, we are going to jump right into the show here as we get going. And I am pleased to welcome my friend, Missy Cross, who is here from St. Cecilia. Missy, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great today. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Happy to have you here. And we were talking a little bit because I hadn't seen you in some time. And we met a couple years ago, right, at Two Jags, I think, at least.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. And now you're over there at the new establishment, St. Cecilia. And you guys are on French Marketplace. How long y'all been open, Missy?
We opened just a little bit prior to Mardi Gras, so late February.
Okay, cool. And you're running the beverage program there.
That's correct.
Now, we're going to talk about part of what we're doing is that of course we have Creole Tomato Festival coming up in the French Market this weekend. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show, letting you know about that and where you can go and go be a part of this. But what you're doing too, you guys are participating because there's a Bloody Mary Market, so we'll talk about that. Tell us a little bit about St. Cecilia, since it's a new place, and how you got involved.
Well, St. Cecilia is the patron saint of musicians and poets, and the owners of a restaurant also own St. Lawrence on the other side of the French Quarter.
Yeah, okay.
And St. Lawrence, amongst other things, is the patron saint of chefs. So this concept kind of ties in with their other restaurant, but we're doing something just a little bit different, maybe just a little bit more elevated.
So, and tell us a little bit about that. So, like, what is the cuisine and what's the bar program about?
The food is very much so, like, Southern comfort. We've got some really delicious po' boys, red beans and rice, fried chicken. But also, we do some more fun things with seafood. We always do, like, a really nice, fresh local fish preparation. We've been doing a soft-shell crab that's been selling really well as well.
Cool. And what about the bar program, Missy, that you're helming?
It's been really fun. So when they brought me on before we opened, what they wanted was a craft program done in a pretty fun and approachable manner. And that, for me, was just right up my alley. I love craft cocktails. I love what we've been doing lately. But I really enjoy being able to make that approachable and to kind of bring that to, you know, the people that come in through New Orleans that maybe haven't heard of a Sazerac or really realize that bars are juicing fresh juice, you know, so it's been fun.
So it's not one of these things where you're doing a molecular deconstruction and carving a dolphin that takes 20 minutes out of pineapple, right? Is that what we're saying?
No, I love that and it's great, but that's not what I'm
that's
doing.
That's not what you're doing.
No.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background, Missy. So how did you find yourself to St. Cecilia and how did you get involved in the beverage world and being a bartender?
Well, you know, I've been working in bars and restaurants for nigh on 17 years now and started bartending shortly after I was of legal age, so it's been a minute that I've been behind the bar. And I moved to Seattle in 2004, and after working in beer pubs and sports bars, sort of started discovering the craft cocktail movement, and it really excited me because I love service, and I love service industry and providing hospitality, but being able to connect some creativity into that really spoke to me, and I've sort of taken that and run with it, I guess.
Where are you from? So you moved to Seattle, but where'd you grow up?
Southern Texas.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what prompted you to move to Seattle?
My stepdad was in the Navy.
So okay.
He was stationed just outside of Seattle. And I just had a little bit more of a prolonged stay after he retired and my family moved all back to Texas.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And so you started out there. And then when did you move to New Orleans?
January 2015.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And then did you move down here because you had a particular prospect or did you want to come here to see the scene or how did that transpire?
You know, I had been vacationing here for quite a few years and it sort of had become an annual thing where I realized it was sort of silly to continue to book plane tickets back and forth to New Orleans when I could just live in the city that I'd clearly fallen in love with and be able to travel elsewhere. Yeah,
give it to rent instead of the airlines.
Exactly.
Right. Cool. And so then where did you start working when you first got here?
My first job was at Two Jacks.
Oh, I didn't know you actually worked there. So that's when we met. Because when you and I met, you were on the other side of the bar. And we were actually hanging out on the patron side of the bar one particular day. I think, if I remember right, I think it was that you were hanging out there.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, cool. Oh, I didn't know you started working at Two Jacks. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Awesome. And so, I mean, what a great place to actually start, because then you're going to... Is that where you kind of cut your chops getting your feet underneath you with the classics?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially with the New Orleans classics and, you know, the style of drinks that people enjoy here in the city, which is very different from what I was used to making.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So did you, so then you went to Two Jags, and then where were you after Two Jags before? You were somewhere else before St. Cecilia, right?
Yeah, I had two other jobs in town. I worked for Kingfish for a brief while.
Okay.
And then I was on the opening team at the Ace Hotel.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay, cool. I didn't know that part. Were you in the downstairs bars?
Yeah, I was working at Josephine Estelle predominantly.
Okay, right. The restaurant bar there at the Ace Hotel, 600 block of Carondelet. Cool. Awesome. And so that must be an exciting prospect then to start doing what you did with St. Cecilia, because is this sort of the first time that you've been given the keys to the car?
It is, fully, absolutely.
And how did that work as far as, did they give you the keys to the car and say, here's the philosophy, and then you pull it all together?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, they were very clear with me about, like, what concept they wanted, about, you know, having an approachable craft cocktail program. And, you know, I expressed, you know, some pretty solid excitement about that. And, and they said, great, you know, do it. And I guess I'm doing all right because they haven't taken the keys away yet.
You still have the keys. You're still driving the car. There you go. That's exciting. So that's pretty cool, because then it allows you to kind of elaborate some of your creativity and your vision through this, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
Cool. And so let's do this, actually, Missy. We're gonna do a little short break. We'll take care of a little bit of business. Now let's come back and we'll talk a little bit more about Bloody Marys. And then I want to talk a little bit about... the idea of approachable cocktails and kind of what that means and how you put the program together. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Awesome. Friends, come on back here to the NOLA Drink Show. A little bit of the Subdudes, Poor Man's Paradise. Come on back.
My friend Clyde lost his house when the big winds blew. Things have been a little rough. There's still fish in the bayou. He can whip up a Cubillon, whistling surely blow in his poor man's paradise. Show his night.
Hey ladies, are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello wine. Cheers.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu. Life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickie Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
Goodbye, Joe. I got to go. Me oh my, oh. I gotta go pull a hero down the bayou. My boss is the sweetest one, Mio Mayo. Son of a gun, we're gonna have big fun on the bayou. I said jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shadow Mill.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. A little Tab Benoit, his version of Jambalaya, of course. The old Hank Williams Sr. song. Yeah, Hank, he was not from around here, but he wrote a pretty good song that's become synonymous with the location. And there's our boy, Tab Benoit, doing it quite well. Go see him if you've never seen him, friends. We were just talking about the Subdues that we went out on the break to with the Poor Man's Paradise. They're a fantastic band. And if you don't actually know the album Street Symphony, that is absolutely worth getting. That's Tommy Malone of the Malone Brothers. And then there's Dave Malone, who's in the Raw Oyster Court with Camille, formerly of the Radiators, or still kind of currently of the Radiators. And the Subdues get together maybe like once a year, it seems, and play. And they're awesome. All right. So anyway, there's my little musical take for you. And we're going to have Los Pobrecitos on the show a little bit later. Matt and I believe Dave from the band talking about their music. So we're kind of doing a music-oriented thing. But right now, the oriented thing that we're doing is we are doing Bloody Marys. And we're talking with Missy Cross from St. Cecilia. And happy to have her here. And you guys, Missy, are participating in Creole Tomato Festival coming up this weekend there in the French Market. It's an easy commute for you to do this.
Yes, yes. That is nice.
That makes it real easy, right? I mean, you just kind of walk across the street, pretty much.
I believe it should be pretty close to across the street, so those big old buckets of Bloody Mary mix shouldn't have to travel too far.
Nice. That's actually perfect. And the traffic only goes one way on French Marketplace, so you only actually have to look, what, to your left, right? Or is it the right? Look to your right.
To the right.
To the right, yes. It's going down, not up. So yeah, there you go. You look to the right and make sure you don't get hit by a car with the you know, I mean, your precious cargo here. Right. So, and tell us, so the event's going on Saturday and Sunday, and we'll talk about that more in the show. But so people can actually kind of come and turn up, and then you guys are going to be there with a few other restaurants and bars serving up Bloody Marys that people can taste and do the do, yeah?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, good. Well, tell us a little bit about the Bloody Mary. And this is really pretty, and I can't really describe it because it's actually nice and classic in presentation. So we have a little bit of a Bloody Mary going on here, and then we have our pickled beans, which is fantastic. And tell us a little bit about what you did here.
Okay, so I wanted to start with what is essentially our house Bloody Mary mix, which I thought was important to serve what we already serve at the restaurant, so that when you come in and try the drink at the Bloody Mary Market, you can come to St. Cecilia later on that afternoon for a second, or next time you're out for brunch, it'll be that same mix.
Cool. So, and I appreciate you doing that because sometimes when we're doing things right for a special, not me, I don't do this, but for like special market stuff or competition, you're actually doing something that's not on the menu. And this is something that you can actually walk in and this is what you do.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, and tell us a little bit, a little further then about what you've done here. So I think it was very interesting because this is actually tequila Bloody Mary.
Right, right. So more commonly known as the Bloody Maria.
The Bloody Maria. There we go. And you've done something interesting with the infusion of the tequila.
I did. I went ahead and roasted off some poblano peppers and infused that with tequila for a nice, like, charred, smoky flavor.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. So that's really nicely there. And there's a nice bit of spice to it with, there's some heat, but it's not overwhelming, which, I mean, poblano is a nice pepper to pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked it because it is mild, generally.
Mm-hmm. But got a little bite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not flavor. Shy entirely. It's got a little bit of bite. So tell people, because I think lots of times at home doing infusions, you might think, wow, infusions, that's pretty hard to do. But like if we're doing something, say, tequila or really any base spirit, it's really not that hard to do for the home bartender, is it?
It's not, no. Generally, you just need a bottle of not that fancy spirit, you know, something good, but nothing that's going to break the bank. And you can add fruits or vegetables into it. And depending on, you know, how strong or how much sugar or flavor is in the thing you're infusing, you just want to watch it, consult the internet or taste it every other day to see how it's going. And when the flavor's right, you can strain it off and you're ready to mix.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the trick, right, is that you want to be able to, so certain things, I think some of the, right, like if it's kind of, and I know that's not necessarily true entirely, but certain things need to infuse for a couple weeks, like lots of times certain herbs or things like that, or spices. Mm-hmm. But then you have to be really careful because something like, say, cinnamon, I think, is a really good example that you can go way overboard and then it becomes really strong. So we might be talking about a matter of hours or 2 or 3 days in some cases, and a matter of a couple weeks, right?
Absolutely. And I think peppers are another really good example. I remember a few years back, a friend of mine was playing with a ghost pepper infusion, and he let that sit for 2 hours. And let me tell you what, that was too long.
Wow.
It was so hot. So he had it down to like maybe 45 minutes before he had to pull that pepper out. These poblanos are on day two, and I was just telling Brian they'll probably go for another day before the flavor's just right.
It's nice, and I get where you're going with that, because like a touch more, but it's present, and the Bloody Mary mix. Well, tell us a little bit about that too, because the Bloody Mary mix, it's set up in a way that it's allowing the pepper. It's not running it over, right? But it's not being run over either.
Right, exactly. So I pretty much, it's a pretty traditionally made Bloody Mary mix. I think the only thing I add in there that isn't super traditional but is pretty common is horseradish. And we use some fresh spices, some fresh juice, and some actually pickling brine in there as well.
Oh, nice. And I like that. The pickling, yeah, okay. I get that in there now that you say that. What prompted you, Missy, to want to do tequila as the base instead of vodka as the base?
Well, actually, we are going to be serving a vodka Bloody Mary as well.
Okay.
But I wanted to do tequila as the base because agave is one of my favorite spirits to play with and to mix drinks with. And I think that doing a pepper infusion really just goes hand in hand with, you know, the traditional sort of spicy nature of a Bloody Mary.
And if you don't mind me asking, what tequila did you use in this instance?
This is just our regular well tequila. It's El Charro Blanco, which is 100% agave tequila.
Great. So 100% agave tequila, so blue agave, and it's a Blanco. And I think that maybe raises a good point, too, about infusions, right? That we don't necessarily, so we'll just use tequila as an example. I think it works really well. You don't need to use like a reposado or an añejo. You kind of want to use that more of a blank canvas of a Blanco, right?
I think so, too. I would think the same would go for a lot of other spirits. Like, I couldn't imagine infusing a 12-year-old rum with anything. It's got wonderful flavor. But,
right,
you know,
right.
But some white rum in an infusion is lovely. And I think the same goes for tequila. Plus, you're going to be spending a bit more money on a rested tequila.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. We don't need to, like you said, don't start with the really bad, but you don't need to do, you don't need to buy the $50 bottle. We don't need the tequila partita, as much as I like partita. You don't need to spend that kind of money to do an infusion, right? Because what we're really getting at is the flavor of the infusion is kind of center stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, so now with Bloody Marys in general, so you've done one with tequila here, and you're going to do a vodka one, as we talked about, and doing some infusion. I'm always kind of curious with Bloody Marys, and I know I kind of vacillate. So sometimes with a Bloody Mary, what I want is I really kind of want something really thick and hearty, drag it through the garden so that I'm kind of eating a meal. And then there are other times that I really kind of tend towards the other direction entirely, where I want a lighter body, kind of more of a cocktail-y, if you will, smaller volume kind of consideration. How do you feel about that? Are you kind of across the board on that too, or do you have a preference?
I tend to like a little bit of, I guess I would say, like, beefiness to it.
Savory kind of?
Yeah, like that savory, not too thin, but I've had Bloody Marys before that were like a gazpacho, and that wasn't necessarily for me.
Gotcha.
Nor is like the can that you get on the airplane, you know, which I think is like the quintessential. When you say something like thin and light, I think of that airplane Bloody Mary where it's...
Right. Where you're getting a pour of vodka and a little bit of Mr. and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary mix.
Right, exactly. Which, you know, I'm not always mad at, but...
Right. It does serve a purpose. It's just in a smaller glass. And actually, you know, one of the things too we got to take a break here in about a minute, but... And I don't know if you pay attention to this, Missy. Sylvia, my lovely wife, who's actually sitting here today, as she sometimes is, looking at the amount of sodium on the back of certain, you know, on the certain pre-made Bloody Mary mixes, it is absolutely shocking the level of sodium. That's so like I bring this up because Mr. and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary mix are not knocking the product, but the amount of sodium in that is remarkable. And some of these brands are something like, you know, 12 or 1300 milligrams of sodium per serving, but you can actually find some nice ones that are well put together that you can buy at the store that are closer to 500 or 600. And that is an incredible spread. I don't know if you pay attention to that. I just like, I'm old, so I have to like look at stuff like this.
I do. I think within, you know, the last year, looking at a mix in the store and trying to find something sort of on the fly for Bloody Marys for some purpose or another. But I was surprised too to see MSG on the label in a couple mixes, and yeah, to see such high sodium.
It's crazy. And I mean, you can, the idea I think is flavor here, right? And it's kind of a shortcut to flavor, and yours has such a nice flavor. What we're going to do, friends, is we're going to take the bottom of the hour break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're chatting with Missy Cross from St. Cecilia. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about what I said before about approachable cocktails at the program at the restaurant. And then I know she needs to scoop because she actually needs to get to the restaurant and actually make approachable cocktails. So friends, hey, come on back to the NOLA Drink Show.
Market offers daily entertainment and delicious food and drink options throughout our six-block district. Whether you crave raw oysters or fresh produce, authentic confections or healthy daiquiris, you can find it here. Sit at one of our cafes and hear live local music. Enjoy a muffaletta, po' boy, salad, or cheese plate in the farmer's market. Check out our pop-up farmer's markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays for even more fresh food options. History is being made fresh daily at the French Market. Visit frenchmarket.org for food, drink, retail, and event listings.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with New Orleans' own Sazerac Company, makers of Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In case you haven't noticed, rye whiskey is hot, flying off store shelves and dominating the bar scene in New Orleans and around the country. Rye's spicy and assertive character is drawing in those looking for whiskey with a bite, but that equally pairs well with cocktails. Enjoy it in cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, or simply savor it on the rocks. Sazerac Rye Whiskey. The way New Orleans does whiskey.
This is Christopher Icaza, general manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucouleurs. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's grand dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon dining room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra-premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80-proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranax, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to Over Oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Look here, you see me.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show.
No fool. I'm one smart Frenchman, never been to school.
There you go, a little Clarence Garlow for you, friends. Bonton Roulet. There's actually like two or three versions of that song. There's like this is the second version, if I'm not mistaken. So there was sort of an older one that he recorded for one label, and then there was this one, and I think I have that right, this one. And then he signed to another record label, I think I want to say out of L.A., if I remember right, and re-recorded the song kind of as the new Bonton Roulet. And they're all very good, but this one was kind of my favorite because I just sort of like the percussion. And Clarence Garlow also does a good song. We'll play Crawfish in a little later, right, Beach? All right, cool. And BJ's working the board, as he always is. We'll talk to BJ a little bit towards the end of the show. But right now we are chatting with Missy Cross, who is the woman behind the bar there in the beverage program at St. Cecilia on French Marketplace. So right there. So you guys are I think we talked about this off the air. So if I'm repeating myself on the air, I apologize. I do that. You guys are right across the street, essentially, from the flea market portion of the French Market, right?
That's correct.
Cool. And so it's nice. And we were talking during the break, Missy, about how, you know, kind of that end, the bottom of the quarter there, obviously got a great selection of dive bars. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I want to always be clear. But, you know, we have Cane and Table down your way. That's your neighbor, another spot or two. And it's kind of nice to have that sort of option where that landscape of that neighborhood is changing a little bit. Would you say? Is that
fair? I think
so,
yes.
Cool. And so you guys moved in with that kind of vision of doing something different. And so you're right around the corner and you just said something. It's like, you know, all you got to do is really come a block off Decatur, go towards the river, and they're going to find you. It's really not that far.
It's not. It's not at all. It's really quite easy to get there.
Right, right. So now what you're doing, we wanted to talk about this a little bit too, is you mentioned wanting to do approachable cocktails. So tell me a little bit about your philosophy there. What does that mean? Elaborate on that.
For me, I think the way I've interpreted that is it doesn't necessarily mean that I can't use, ingredients such as like some really fun Amaris or do a brandy base or things that people aren't necessarily used to having, but doing it in a way that is approachable so that it's no more than maybe three or four ingredients in a vessel that we're used to seeing our drinks in with maybe just a variation or like one step variation off of a classic cocktail. So for instance, I have our St. Cecilia cocktail, our house cocktail, is just a very slight variation on a Tom Collins.
Oh, okay. So do me a favor, actually, because I think this is a really good example. Tell people, and I think a lot of people obviously know what a Tom Collins is, but tell people what a Tom Collins is, and then tell people what your variation is, just to give us that one degree of separation example.
Okay, well, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's 2 degrees.
Okay, 2 degrees of separation, fair enough. But, that's not that far.
A Tom Collins it's is going to be it's going to be a vodka base with some lemon, sugar, and club soda. So that's just a really, you know, traditional, tall, refreshing beverage. For our St. Cecilia cocktail, I've done a green tea vodka infusion. And instead of sugar, I've used St. Germain. And then I've got that lemon juice and club soda.
Nice. So you get that nice elderflower note in there. And I'm guessing that's going to add some nice mouthfeel to the drink, too, right?
It does. It does, yes.
That's pretty cool. So I like that. Yeah, okay. I agree with you. 2 degrees of separation mm-hmm. right there. So that's a nice little spin on a Collins. Still refreshing, but a little more depth of flavor.
Exactly.
What is the brand of the base spirit that you're using in that? Did you say that already?
That's Cathead.
Are you using Cathead?
That's our well vodka.
Yeah, and hey, that's a nice choice for a well vodka.
It is. It actually ties in well. Our company for our daiquiri sales donate $1 for daiquiri sale to the Roots of Music Foundation. And in fact, when we buy a bottle of Cathead vodka, they also donate $1 to the Roots of Music Foundation.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I know they're big on that. And I know, I'm going to guess that you know our I'm sure Candace is a mutual friend of ours who's there. Brand ambassador here, Candace Frosch.
And, yes.
And
lovely lady.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Candace. Actually saw, and this is a complete tangent, but I guess Cathead did a music festival at the distillery, I want to say last weekend. And it was called it was called Cathead Boogie or something like that. And so they had I just thought it was like an employee party. And then I was looking at the pictures, like, no, they had like a music festival going on. And I mean, this is Candace piping this stuff in through to me on social media, mm-hmm. not directly to me, to everyone. But yeah, that's nice. So that's a nice selection for a well vodka. It's a local product. It's a well-made product. And you're using the regular, not any of the flavored ones, right? You're just using the regular one. Cool.
Just the regular.
So tell us a little bit, you know, so approachable cocktails. Obviously, we touched on this a little bit. So the New Orleans classics, is there a bent to this beyond that? Is there a theme kind of that you're going for? Are we going sort of New Orleans classics, spins on standard stuff? I mean, it doesn't sound like we've got like tiki oriented, I guess is where I'm going with this. Is there anything kind of influencing this?
You know, I wanted to make sure that we were, you know, giving due credit to the the classic New Orleans cocktails. We feature a Sazerac and a Hurricane on our menu, making our Hurricane real deal traditional. And
so
then,
can I stop you there? So tell me because a real deal traditional Hurricane is actually really sweet, and I think people maybe think that that's not the case. Do you guys is it pretty sweet? Do we got a lot of rum in there and then a lot of sweet fruit juice, or is it a little drier and is it a little?
I think we definitely focus on the passion fruit in there. Okay. So it's got like a lot of acid from the passion fruit, but it's definitely a sweet drink.
Okay, gotcha. And then lots of rum.
Oh yes, lots of rum.
Good. That would not be. and the reason why I bring that up is like I think with like a lot of cocktails that people might find themselves into on Bourbon Street, they think, okay, well it's all really sweet and it's this and that. But traditionally, the cocktail wasn't so sweet way back when. Actually, the tradition of the Hurricane that Pat O'Brien and that was a sweet drink right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. There was no like dry version of it that became sweeter and more fruit juicier over time. Maybe the quality of ingredients were probably a little different, but that's always been a sweet drink.
Yes.
Cool. So go on. I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify that with the Hurricane thing.
Otherwise, I wanted to just pull from some of like my favorite classics and modern classics and then add on a few originals there within, you know, that sort of fun, approachable theme. I think I look at a menu more in terms of like hitting certain bases with a style of drink, with base alcohol and preparation or glassware for a nice balance.
Okay, so
I think it's more important to me than like an overarching theme.
Okay, I got you. So like you something up, right, or something stirred, something shaken, that kind of thing with the proper representation of base spirit and sort of representative of groups of drinks.
Yes.
Got it. That's really cool. Awesome. Well, Missy, do me a favor. Tell people where can they find you guys online and where can they find you and come see you on the street there and have you make an approachable cocktail for them.
So the website is stcecilianola.com. So you can visit there, check out our menu. We're located at 91 French Market Place. We're open every day from 9 a.m. until midnight. And we feature happy hour from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then again from 10 to midnight daily with drink specials and also oyster on the half shell specials.
Nope.
I'm not quite sure exactly where my booth is going to be tomorrow, or I'm sorry, on Saturday. I haven't seen that map yet, but within the Bloody Mary Market.
Awesome. And that's not a huge area, so you'll be around. So come see Missy there. Go see her at St. Cecilia. When are you generally at the restaurant, Missy?
I bartend every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or sorry, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and then I'm in weekday afternoons for mostly admin things.
Admin things, but we might see you there behind the bar. Okay,
yeah, cool. Sometimes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Missy. Good luck this weekend at the Bloody Mary Market. Are you going to be out there Sunday too, or is that only on Saturday?
It is Saturday and Sunday.
It is Saturday. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be there on Sunday too?
I will be.
Okay, cool. We might see you on Sunday because I can't do it on Saturday. But thanks, Missy, for being here. I really appreciate it. Friends, Missy Cross from St. Cecilia, New Orleans. Go check him out over on French Market Place, right across from the Flea Market. Cool new establishment. Nice drink, beautiful Bloody Mary. And Missy is a very fine person and a fine bartender. So go say hi. Tell her I sent you, and she'll probably charge you double. Friends, come on back here to the NOLA Drink Show.
from the beach, yellow Pocahontas, with a night wall hunter, then we don't bow down on nobody's ground. But I love to hear you call us Indian Ring. The wild squad too, the wild chopper too, the wild west Shoshone Nation, wild, wild creation. We don't bow down on nobody's ground. But I will love to hear them call us Indian Ring.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petite Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bageau heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Down yonder, down on the farm. Down yonder, where I was born. Way down yonder on the farm. Raise that chicken and raise that corn down yonder, down on the farm. Down yonder, meet Sue and Tom. We go balling with Uncle John. Way down yonder on the farm, raise them chicken and raise them corn down yonder, down on the farm.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today here on a Thursday. Yeah, a little Snooks Eaglin for you down yonder.
I like that song, too.
I always like Snooks Eaglin, man. I always say this. I say this about almost everybody that we play on the show. And we're going to, BJ's working the board, as he always is. We're going to have to pull up our guest music here a little bit. And our guests are Matt Sacchini and Dave Greengold from Los Poblositos. Gentlemen, welcome and thank you for being here.
It's our pleasure.
So happy to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And really excited to have you guys in here. And part of, you know, what we're doing is we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about what it is that you do, but then this is a show about drinking food. So we're going to talk about that too. You guys are playing a gig at Pontchartrain Vineyards this weekend on Saturday. And we'll talk about that too. So tell me, you guys, and either one of you, I hate putting people in boxes because that's never very fair. I love your music, and I've actually seen you guys for a number of years now, and we have all your records and all that kind of stuff. How would you guys describe your music?
The name of our first record was called New Orleans Latin Soul, and I think we kind of came out the gate with this idea that New Orleans had this deep well of jazz and funk and soul music, and we were listening to a style of Latin music called Boogaloo, which is a New York 60s, really soulful, funky, really funk-infused Latin music with Latin rhythms, and we thought, what if we brought these two styles together? So I play guitar in the band, but Dave, as the conga player, really brings some of that Latin element with the rest of the percussion section.
I just, and again, I hate putting people in boxes, but I was actually just, even right before being at the show, which I usually do before the show, fair, full disclosure, nobody's surprised about this. I was actually sitting in part-time Econ Rampart having a beverage, and I was telling some people at the bar about you guys and that you were coming on the show, and there was actually a fan of yours was sitting at the bar, and he's nodding his head when I was describing, but I kind of said it's sort of like war meets Santana meets Latin jazz meets New Orleans R&B. And I is that fair? I mean, I don't want to put people in boxes, but I like, you know, you want to give people like some reference.
I think the war and Santana part do fit, because what we're doing essentially is this, you have to see where Boogaloo came from. So Boogaloo essentially was a response for the Latin guys that were playing music, that were up in Spanish Harlem. They really wanted to get in on the action of when R&B and soul music was really starting to hit its stride, really starting to become incredibly popular. And they were all talented musicians, and they loved that style of music. And so they adapted it to their own instrumentation. And, you know, a lot of Latin music is sort of like, there's a couple chords, and it's a jam. And what they did is they kind of said, well, let's take this, they're all using this form, this 12-bar blues form, so let's take our instrumentation and some of the elements of the style of music that we play and adapt it and add some of these R&B and soul influences. And then some of the lyrics are in Spanish, some are in English, some are a little bit of Spanglish, you could say. Mm-hmm. And it really made it an accessible form of Latin music for people who are interested in soul and R&B. It also gave the Latin musicians a venue to kind of feel out different styles of American music, American, using air quotes, music. Right. The way we've interpreted it was initially we needed to learn the style. So initially we played a lot of cover music. We played a lot of the standards of Boogaloo. That
Willie Bobo, Mongo, mm-hmm. Santa Maria.
Yeah, Mongo. Yeah, okay.
Right. Right. In fact, a couple of those tunes you'd recognize from popular culture, popular films that came out. There was that one, what was it called? The Departed, one of our Boogaloo. Mm-hmm.
Bang Bang.
Yep. Bang Bang's in The Departed. So that's where we started. And then all of us being in New Orleans for so long and immersed in the music and the culture of New Orleans, a natural evolution of the band was when we started composing our own music. It really had a lot of the stylings of New Orleans rhythms, New Orleans music, and New Orleans themes, the thematic elements, both lyrically and musically, that lent itself really well to the Latin instrumentation that we were using to learn the Boogaloo music. And I think that we've evolved to have our own sound, like Matt said, New Orleans Latin soul. I think that really sums it up perfectly. And it's interesting that we named the first CD that before we really were playing New Orleans Latin soul. I think that really came about later when we started composing our own tunes.
How did you guys, and thank you for that, makes all the sense in the world what you just said, listening to your music. How did you guys get together then? Did you guys kind of find yourself over conversation saying, like, I dig Mongo Santa Maria and I like Boogaloo music? Or were you guys friends before? How did this coalesce into being Los Bobocitos?
Yeah, the core was friends. Actually, we'd need to give credit to a couple guys that aren't in the band anymore, John Goldman and Jake Leland, who we were all here together right after Katrina 2006. And it was actually John who turned us on to Boogaloo music and had this idea that if you had a Boogaloo band in New Orleans, it's like a no-brainer, right? It's dance party music with Latin rhythms and room for improvisation, funky bass grooves. It's sort of like a checklist of what New Orleans music is, but it has a different flavor, obviously. So we got together in the front room of their apartment and just started running through some tunes. It sounded awful. we're all decent musicians, but it was like, you know, it was a lot of a high learning curve. And there was a bar you'll remember on Frenchman Street back at that time called Cafe Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ade really took a shine to us and let us play once a month or so. And we sort of just, you know, it was like baptism by fire. We just worked it out. And over time, the band evolved. One of the great things about, well, actually, even touching on some of the food themes I know you want to get to is We like to say we're sort of the house band for the Po' Boy Fest on Oak Street.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And that came about because we played the first year and that they started. And we called them up and we were like, so you're Po' Boy Fest. We're Po' Boycitos. Don't you think we should work this out?
Easy branding. I don't need to explain that to you any further.
And they said, sure. They were just a little shoestring operation at the time. We really kind of graduated at that point. I think we came out and we were like, oh, you know, people are listening to us and we've gotten pretty decent at this. And then we made our first record and it was another sort of touchstone. Oh, we can go into a studio and get this down together. And then just like Dave said, then we started thinking, you know, we want to put our own stamp in the music. Just to get to one of the things you said about Santana and War, I'll take a little credit for that as the guitar player. Boogaloo music does not generally have guitar. It's a real piano-based sound. So when you bring that guitar in and you take the piano out, that creates a way where we sound a little different. We start writing our tunes. It starts sounding a little different. We do a fair amount of our own songs in English. So it's a experiment.
It's really great music, and it's super dance music, like I think we've touched on. And actually, I bought your first record, and it was kind of funny because I was actually at, since we're talking about Frenchman Street, so I popped into my head. At the time, it was Louisiana Music Factory when they were down or up on Decatur. And you know how they have like the listening stations. And they had your first record up in a listening station. And I'm like, oh, this is what cool name, Los Po' Boycitos. This is kind of cool. And I popped on. I'm like, oh. And it was like soup. It was absolutely super infectious. It's a really infectious music. And so then I became a fan of you guys that way and then have seen you subsequently and so on and so forth. But it's really, again, I don't want to put people in boxes because that's absolutely not fair. It's just relating stuff to people and the music is fantastic. Let's do this. We're going to spin a little bit on the outro here. And then you guys, I know you guys got to get out of here in about a half hour, but we're going to stick around, talk a little bit more about the music, talk about the gig upon Train Vineyards. We'll talk about the Po' Boy Festival and some other stuff. I'd actually like to know the inspiration for the name. I mean, I kind of get not the inspiration, but how like that happened. Like, did somebody say it? Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to that too. So if you guys, Matt and Dave, you don't mind sticking around for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're here.
All right. Thank you. Good answer. All right, friends, come on back to, we're going to take the top of the hour break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Hey, come on back. We're chatting with Matt and Dave from Los Po' Boycitos.
Or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklabnola.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petite Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment.
Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Tim McNally, welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hour number two here, the NOLA Drinks Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in here on 990 AM in New Orleans, WGSO. Also in the podcast interwebs, wherever you may be. And I'm going to do this again. I'm going to give a little bit of a shout out because I was looking at some of our podcast stuff. And yeah, thank you to everyone in Japan who is listening. It's a thing. Actually, like it's like 15% of the audience on podcasts is actually in Japan. So I've made that joke, like, I got to let it go. I can't keep just saying big in Japan, but I will. But I'm chatting here with Matt and Dave from Los Pobrecitos, and we're talking a little bit about their music and boogaloo music and then the New Orleans influence and things. And what I asked you guys before the break was, so we obviously know po' boys here in New Orleans. We don't need to parse that too much. But how did you guys, we all sitting around drinking beers, and somebody said we need to be Los Pobrecitos. How did that work?
This is the deepest controversy in Los Pobrecitos history. Basically, yes, there was a naming period right at the start of the band. We might have even played a few gigs under a different name. What was that name, Dave? You just said it.
It was Sol Latinola.
Mm.
Very punny.
Yeah. I believe it was John who came up with Los Pobrecitos, and there was some question about whether it should just be poor boys or pobrecitos, which is of course the Spanish poor boys.
Poor, yeah.
Uh-huh. Or pobrecitos, and there was a lot of dissension in the band, but they're bloodshed, and Pobrecito stuck. As current band leader, I am actually not a huge fan of the name. I feel like it's a little too tongue-in-cheek and goofy, but it's one of those things where we've got albums out, and a lot of people love the band name. But I will tell you, to this day, still very controversial.
Go ahead, Dave. What were you going to say? Add to the controversy, man.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I'm always still cool with, if we could always call the band David Greengold and Friends if you want to.
Yeah, like, can I throw out, how about the David Greengold collection? Mm. David Greengold, yeah, there
Experience.
You go.
Experience.
Yeah, perfect. So when, let's talk a little bit about this then with you guys. So you guys have been around. When did you guys actually form? So you said right after Katrina, more or less, and then got together. And how, I know you guys do other things, Matt. I was going to get to this. Your background, you're a music professor at Tulane, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I'm what's called an ethnomusicologist, which means I research how important music is in our everyday lives.
Yep.
And I wrote a book about the great, amazing brass band tradition here in New Orleans, and bands like Rebirth and the Soul Rebels and the Hot Eight, who play in jazz funerals and second line parades. So that's kind of my day job. And I teach our wonderful Tulane students out there. And
are you teaching generally ethnomusicology too, or are you also doing like 1A, 1B, 1C with theory and stuff? Do you have to do that as well? Or
I don't actually teach any theory, but I teach basic music history. For a long time, I taught the history of classical music, which is a required class at Tulane. I still teach history of New Orleans music. I teach a class called Music and Politics, where we talk about sort of, you know, from World War II in Nazi Germany or today and in the current political climate, you know, protest music, what have you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and Dave's got a fascinating job, yep, too, very related to your show.
Yeah, Dave, so, I mean, where are you from, Dave, originally?
I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. I moved here in 1992.
Okay.
And
what prompted you to move here?
I came here to flunk out of Tulane University, and I succeeded.
well done. Yeah. Aim high, man.
Yeah, I knocked it out of the park.
That's great, man. And do you use like Magna Cum Flunky? That's well done.
It hangs nice on my wall. Yeah. Yes.
So your day gig does sort of relate to the content of this show.
For sure, yeah. So I'm with Juan's Flying Burrito and Slice Pizzeria. I'm one of the owners of the company. I have a couple partners, and we all work really, really hard to bring you these establishments. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary of Juan's Flying Burrito this year.
Nice.
Opened in 97. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's been nice to see the evolution of the restaurant, both the way the style of service is and the way the menu has evolved. And it's nice to feel like we're part of the New Orleans culinary community as a once upon a time tiny burrito shop, and now we've evolved. We're about to open a new location. We closed our Slice Pizzeria uptown, and we're converting it into a Juan's Flying Burrito over there on Joseph and Magazine next to the bus barn, which is now the Whole Foods, and we're hoping for the best for that.
That's cool.
Yeah, it should be cool. We'll still have Slice Pizzeria on St. Charles Avenue, and we'll bring it up to 4 Juan's Flying Burritos and try and go for another 20 years.
What came first for you, Dave? Did you grow up playing music? And then how did you get, where did the music part come from? Where did the culinary part come from?
Interestingly, the music part, I think really for me has been more, learning an instrument was more a vehicle to perform. I like being, I DJed for a while while I was failing out of Tulane. And I've always enjoyed being in front of a crowd, entertaining, being the center of attention. I enjoy performance, and I love to sing. So I learned guitar initially when I was as a teenager to accompany myself to be able to perform. And it's really been, I'm not much of a songwriter. I don't consider myself a creative individual. I consider myself a performer, and that's really what being in a band and where the role that music has taken in my life. I mean, I love music, of course. Who doesn't love music? But the
if
way
you don't, yeah, you're weird. Exactly. I maintain that.
Exactly. Music for me has been more of an expression of performing. I love to perform. I really, really do. Culinarily, you know, you fail out of college and you're in New Orleans and you just start working in restaurants. And I just had a little bit of good luck and a little bit of hard work, and I just kind of, you know, I bopped around a bit and just wound up with Juan's, and I just picked up some new skills and some new talents, and just the chips just fell just right for me to really have this amazing opportunity to be part of Juan's and be an owner of Juan's and have these wonderful partners and have this great staff. I'm just really lucky. Yeah, I can't really say anything more about it. I did not grow up in a business family. I did not grow up in a food family. I just fell into this, and it fits so nicely, and I'm really grateful.
How did you guys actually meet, Matt? I mean, he like didn't flunk out of one of your classes or something, right?
No. I moved here in 97, and my wife at the time worked with one of Dave's best friends. Shout out to Stephanie Mackin. And I remember going to see a band Dave had at the time called High Lie, and I love this band. Actually, I have their bootleg CDs. I still listen to them. So many bands in New Orleans that you only so many stand the test of time, and they didn't. But I saw Dave playing with them, and he had his own band at the time, which was called
Son del Pantano.
Son del Pantano.
It was Cuban Son.
Yeah, and so Cuban Son. We really became friends though through the band. And while we're going through this, I should give a shout out to some of the other guys in the band, especially Jason Bredel, our drummer, who's born and raised New Orleanian and really is the every single thing inside of Rock and Bowl was built by Jason Bredel. He's their construction guy over there. And all our horn section, Byron, Jack, and Luke are professional musicians around town. Our bass player, Dan, is in another great band called the Deslons, which is one of the great country bands
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Here in the city. Mike Skinkis anytime you go hear a Latin band in New Orleans, you might see him banging on his timbales in the back. And did I forget anybody?
We can thank some of our subs that help us out from time to time.
So, Matt, where are you from, man?
I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts, and I went to conservatory, and I was actually a recording engineer and a radio producer for years. Okay. I can tell you all about the RE20 I'm talking into.
You can look at this vintage board that we have here in the station.
And worked on a radio program in New Orleans called American Roots. That's what brought me here in 97 to NPR.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, you guys, do me a favor. We're going to do this. We're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back and chat with you guys a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit about food. We'll talk a little bit about the gig coming up at Bonch Train Vineyards on Saturday. And hey, we're going to spin some Los Bobocitos music on the way out. Friends, come on back.
Let's hear it.
Sabroso de verdad, y todo el mundo quiere jalar para allá.
Hey, jala, jala, pobrecita. Hey, jala, jala, para gozar.
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event, or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
To the Noel Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, King of Latin Soul. Brand new dance. That album from Los Bobocitos. And coincidentally, we're not playing that music for no reason. We're chatting with Matt and Dave from Los Bobocitos. You guys are playing up at Pontchartrain Vineyards this Saturday. As I always say, full disclosure, I'm the general manager of the winery. And I'm going to leave it at that. But beyond that, you guys, this will be the third time that you guys have played there, as I recall. Yeah?
Yeah, one of our favorite gigs is looking out.
You're just saying that, Matt. You're just saying that.
In front of us on stage is this picturesque rolling hills and green grass and families, everybody bringing out their picnic kind of set up. And then inside the winery, we get this little band set up in the cold room with an endless supply of Pontchartrain Vineyards, a fine wine.
Beautiful. And thank you for removing the conflict of interest. I don't have to say anything like that, man. So well done.
It's, it's one of those gigs when you call us up to when Lincoln invites us back. I'm like, yep, let me check that date. We'd love to come back.
That's cool. I mean, it's really fun having you guys out there. And I remember the first time that you guys played a couple of years back. And we're actually kind of in the habit there at the winery, and again, avoiding conflict of interest, but we generally don't book bands. Usually it's kind of every other year, every third year. Mm-hmm. And we've actually had you guys back a lot because I remember that the first time that y'all played at the winery and, you know, people loved you guys and it was so much fun. There was a good energy at the show, which like it's the North Shore. I'm going to say this, you know, a lot of times it can be kind of dud and not the music. It's like, you know, people just kind of sit there and it's like, I'm not watching a jazz show in Paris, friends. You can actually get up and dance, you know, it's cool. And you guys have people up and dancing and people, I just think really clicked with you guys. And it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. I even remember, somebody came up to us after that first show and said, you all have to play my wedding, and we went and played their wedding several months later. I mean, it was that kind of a real feeling out there.
So the commission check for me is in the mail. That is what
sure.
Yeah, fair enough. It's fun. And so you guys are playing Saturday 6:30 at the winery, and everybody knows how to get there now because you guys have played there three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole band, all eight of us will be out there, and I'm bringing my daughter Ella out there because it's just one of those. I really encourage people to come out any Saturday, regardless of whether it's us or another band, because it's just such a nice, relaxing spot.
It's really a lot of fun, and it's nice, you know. People, there'll be food trucks out there as is the norm, and then actually the weather looks really cooperative, which I'm gonna knock on wood here, but it looks really no rain. I don't think it's gonna be too humid, which in June here in Southeast Louisiana. Yeah.
Let's keep knocking on wood because I like it.
Well, you guys, with food and drink kind of stuff, and BJ, who's producing the show, beautiful, you pulled this up, got a little bit of a food reference on an album cover, and that's your first record, right?
New Orleans Latin Soul. We don't have clearance from the San Marcos company to use that can of their salsa or chipotle peppers.
You didn't have to name the brand, man. That's all right. But
San Marcos lawyer is listening. That's definitely not their product.
It's San Margarita. It's not San Margarita.
But that was a fun Photoshop project. And actually, on the back cover of that record, we're standing in front of Barcia's po' boy shop, playing literally off the band name Los Pobocitos.
Yeah. Cool. So now, and Dave, we got quite a bit of your background on food, and now you got into doing pizza and then Juan's Flying Burrito. Did you grow up, because you were talking about, I mean, you mentioned you grew up in Miami and you mentioned Son music. Are you of Cuban descent then? Or
it's hard to say. I don't know who my actual father is. Maybe he's Cuban, probably not. But weird coming from Miami. I was out in the suburbs. I had very little exposure to Cuban culture. I had some Cuban friends, but very assimilated. So I fell in love with Cuba when I was at WTUL, another radio station on the FM dial, and I came across.
Oh, thanks for making me feel bad being on AM. That's okay, man. Go on
the FM in stereo, and so I came across a lot of Cuban music and just fell in love with it. Took a couple trips to Cuba. Joined a Cuban son band that was looking for a singer and a rhythm guitarist, and really learned Spanish to sing that style of music. I fell in love with it so deeply. So really everything that I love about Cuba and Cuban culture actually came from my time in New Orleans and not actually my time in Miami.
Interesting. Okay.
I couldn't put the two together. When I did go back to Miami later in life after I've been singing in a son band and have gone to Cuba and learned Spanish, I went back to Miami and I didn't feel connected to it at all. It was interesting. It's a different community than the community that I learned to love, which was the New Orleans Cuban community and the actual Cubans in Cuba. Mm-hmm. It was very different, and that surprised me a lot. I should have known because of the way I felt leaving Miami, not really feeling like I had any exposure. So that was interesting. But New Orleans has a very Cuban community. Like it feels more like
the Caribbean. The and yeah. That, yeah. And mm-hmm. I get you actually, and I don't need to belabor this too much. I lived in Key Largo for a while, but I went to Cuba when I was in grad school in the late 90s. And then I lived in Key Largo after that. Mm-hmm. And those are two entirely different things.
Yeah,
they are two entirely different things. Oh, yeah. Well, you guys, do me a favor. We got about a minute left. I'll talk about the gig a little bit after, but where do people find you online and outside of playing at the winery on Saturday? What's coming up for Los Pobocitos? Mm.
We're at lospobocitos.com on the internet, and a couple gigs that are upcoming. We're playing, actually going out to Hattiesburg in August and playing a Friday park series they've got out there. And you can often catch us at Maison on Saturday nights once we get through this summer period where my band tends to go out and go on tour. We're thinking about putting a new record together so we can get some new music out there. And then, of course, you know, you always see us at the Po' Boy Fest and the French Quarter Fest and all the kind of major...
The Fried Chicken Festival.
That's right. Fried Chicken Festival. I was trying to remember what was going on in September. That's right around the corner here.
Yeah, that'll be good. And then I know they have more fryers going on, so they're not going to run out of fried chicken this time at the Fried Chicken Festival.
I understand. Talk about... I thought my band name was a controversy, but I had friends coming back. I couldn't get any fried chicken at the Fried Chicken Festival.
It almost became the Great Fried Chicken Riot of 2016. Yeah, no doubt. Matt, Dave, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
You too, Brian.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Listen, everybody, remember that you just come out there North Shore this weekend.
Yep. We'll talk about that coming back. Guys, check them out at Pontchartrain Vineyards. Matt, Dave from Los Pobocitos, check them out. Fantastic New Orleans band. Guys, hey, we're going to take the bottom of the hour break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
This is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In 2008, the Louisiana legislature made the Sazerac cocktail the official cocktail of New Orleans, affirming what New Orleanians had known for over 150 years. You just can't beat a good Sazerac. The Sazerac cocktail is the quintessential New Orleans drink, perfect for celebrating the arrival of fall festivals, football season, or just being proud to be a New Orleanian. For the official recipe, visit www.sazerac.com.
This is Christopher Icaza, General Manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucaray. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petite Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc, a crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint, and it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
The French Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pontalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market, making history fun since 1791.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Savory crabmeat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
You tell Judy and I tell Jake to bring some chicken and a chocolate cake. I'll bring a little home food to keep awake. Now hurry, hurry, for goodness sake, coffee chairs are coming and so is Sue. A crawfish is jumping in the big bayou. I'll bring some bait for the crawfish line. I'll bring your gal and I'll bring mine.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. A little more Clarence Garlow there. A little crawfishing. And we're kind of coming down to the end here of crawfish season. It's kind of that time as we're here in June. I know there's like farm raised stuff that you can kind of get year round, but this is the, I don't think I'm not having it anymore. It's kind of, we're about done here. All right. So there you go. So we're probably put that song to bed, buddy.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah, it's cool. I love the song. I think it's going to be time to put that to bed and then, you know, come around early 2018. If they don't throw us off the air, then, we'll resurrect the tune.
Sounds good.
That sound good. Maybe yeah. One last hurrah next week.
All right. Yeah. Cause I'll be honest. I know this is blasphemy, but I've almost gotten my fill of crawfish and I've, this is all new to me living here.
It happens.
Crawfish is new, but you know, just every time I go to Rouse, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll grab a pound of crawfish just mm-hmm. have a snack. Like, and I'm kind of over it now.
It's that thing. We kind of do that. It's that time of year where you sort of go through, it's sort of like, you know what? It reminds me of this. And I think we're kind of this way here in New Orleans where, you know, like we talk about Mardi Gras and it's like the same refrain happens every year where it's like, man, I love Mardi Gras. I'm excited for Mardi Gras. And then like you talk to somebody on, you know, the 2-3-4 days after Fat Tuesday and you say, man, yeah, I had a great Mardi Gras. I'm glad it's over.
Oh my goodness.
Glad it's over. And it's the same thing. It's sort of like with crawfish season. It's like we fill. They're really good. We kind of hit that high point of the season a few weeks back where they're at their lowest price and their highest quality really mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And then it kind of wanes and then it's kind of like, yeah, I'm good till yeah, next,
I'm
you
good.
Know, February, March, we're good.
And I definitely felt that way with Mardi Gras. I've never really felt my age until the day after Mardi Gras. And of course, it was the day that I had to be here. And I helped out a fellow producer and came in even earlier than normal. So, it took me about a week to truly get over the whole experience, which it was great. It was a lot of fun, but I had to take a couple breaks in the middle of it too, though.
You have to do that. And, you know, I was sitting actually. Again, these are non-revelatory things. I say this all the time. Yeah, I was sitting in a bar before I did the show. Because actually, you know, go grab a drink before I do the show. We know, or put that aside. Always do that. So anyway, last week, actually, I was sitting over at Aaron Rose on Conti right there off Bourbon. And if you don't know Aaron Rose, my good pal Rhiannon, who is behind the bar there usually on Thursdays. And she, they're famous for their frozen Irish coffees. And I'll go in there and get a frozen Irish coffee and have a little, they do a float of Fernet Branca or Fernet Menta. if you wish, which I usually do. It's nice when it's warm, have one of those things. And I was sitting next to a guy, and there's like, it's a lot of locals and stuff, but there's always a lot of tourists that are in there too, because they hear about the frozen Irish coffee. And I was sitting next to a dude from, he was actually from Southern, oh, we were having this conversation, I think, man. No, I didn't tell you this because I didn't see you last. He's from Southern Illinois.
Okay.
And so he's like from Tylertown?
Taylorville?
Taylorville, that's it. Okay. So he's actually a big Cardinals fan, as are you.
Yes.
And so nearby, closer to, you know, that than Cubs land and White Sox land.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about it, and it's the first time he'd ever been in New Orleans, and I kind of get that standard question. He's sipping on his Irish, frozen Irish coffee, as am I. He didn't have a float of Fernet. He didn't have that pay grade yet.
Right.
But then he said, you know, Mardi Gras, man, it's gotta be crazy around here. And I kind of said, well, yeah, you know, it is. But I said, I pointed towards Bourbon Street a half block way. And I said, that's kind of where it's a lot of crazy. And I said, if you really want to come here and experience Mardi Gras, it's, you know, you come during the daytime on Lundi Gras on Monday, or you come on Mardi Gras Day itself, and you go to the morning parade, like the St. Anne Parade up in the Marigny and the Bywater, and see the costumes, and you do some of the stuff on the weekend uptown and these things. The whole thing is not about showing your boobs and drinking hand grenades. It's actually deeply rooted in the culture, and that's... And really, we're outside of Mardi Gras season, and we're now ending crawfish season. But I guess this is my point, is that, you know, a lot of people, like, you see the beauty shots on TV, like during sporting events and things that happen here, and it's always the shot of Bourbon Street. Well, you know, the depth of culture here and all of these things as it relates to food and anything else is so much deeper than just Bourbon Street.
Absolutely. And I got a story about that. So it actually was when I went back to St. Louis to go to the Cardinals opening day this year. I grew up on the Illinois side in a smaller town, but the biggest small town next to us is Alton, Illinois, where Robert Wadlow, the world's tallest man, was born. Miles Davis was born there.
Yeah.
So I used to go out there because there's a very, I don't know, it's about four blocks, but there's 18 bars in four blocks, you know, nice little area.
I like that. That's a good per capita.
A lot of bar hopping and a lot of, you know.
You don't even have to hop, man. Yeah. You just kind of roll.
Yeah, absolutely. So my friend, who's originally from Lafayette, but he's my next door neighbor now. And I took him with me, and we went to this bar, and I saw one of my old friends, and who played in a different band, but our bands had played together quite often. And I was talking to him, and I hadn't seen him since I'd moved, and told him that I lived here. And he's like, oh, that's amazing, you know. And this guy that was with him, who I had no idea who he was, but was very snarky, would be a nice way to put it, I guess. He's like, well, I've been to New Orleans. It's not that great. You're blowing it out of proportion. I said, well, you know, it's not for everyone. It truly isn't.
Fair enough.
Yep. What'd you do while you were in town? Well, I saw it all. I was on Bourbon Street. Like, okay. All right, well, then never mind then.
You have not. And you kind of, when people come and visit here, and again, if you're listening here on WGSO and you live here, you know what we're talking about. If you're listening to the podcast, wherever you are, and again, I thank you, however you're listening to this show, that you may not get that. You may kind of associate so much with Bourbon Street. And it actually reminds me of something, BG. There was a report that came out, I think I saw it in The Advocate or NOLA.com Times Picayune newspaper, and you know, it rains a lot here. The sewage and the plumbing it's old here. So, I mean, there's always, you know, especially after a rain or after hosing down Bourbon, I'm going to say something about this in a second too, hosing down Bourbon Street, there's always a lot of, you know, like standing water and in the gutters and stuff like that. And, so somebody recently, Department of Health, I'm forgetting who exactly it was, but took, it might've been a nonprofit, actually, I think it was, took a sample of the water, and, you know, just gutter water, right, on Bourbon on any given day. And there was a sizable amount of fecal matter determined from large mammals. Okay, now we're not talking about human beings being drunk on Bourbon Street and then defecating on Bourbon Street. We're actually talking, we have here in New Orleans, again, if you're from here, you know this. If you're not, then I'll explain to you that there are carriage rides that go through the French Quarter and some of the historical spots around town and take you on a carriage ride, and they're pulled by mules. And so that's very common to see a little carriage being pulled by a mule, and it's very common to see the mule take a dump on the street. And that actually happens. So there was that content. And I think I made a comment, I did make a comment on our Facebook post that I actually said, and this will get back to kind of what we're talking about here, is I said, I'm surprised when that they did the toxicology report that it was just large mammal fecal water, because I'm surprised that there were not hand grenades and fishbowl toxins in there, which are, of course, very sweet, served in large pieces of non-recyclable plastic drinks, which are ubiquitous on Bourbon Street. I would argue not particularly good drinks. That's, you know, they're just incredibly sweet and they've got a fair amount of alcohol in them. But the what that actually leads to with a lot of drunken frat boy behavior and these sorts of things, when you come to Mardi Gras and you see this kind of stuff, people are walking around with this plastic glass. It's kind of a tall glass and it looks like a hand grenade at the bottom, or literally a plastic fish bowl like that you would have your goldfish in. And the street is just littered with this stuff, man. And it's like, you know, and we sweep the streets every morning. And this is what my friend of mine said, this, who is actually from California, whom I've known from the wine industry for a long time, but her aunt lives here in New Orleans and she's been coming to New Orleans forever. And we were actually taking her, I think, to the airport, if I'm not mistaken, one morning. And we were driving out of the French Quarter, and there's an interesting turnaround that happens on Bourbon Street every single morning. And this is actually my favorite. Okay, this will sound weird. It's my favorite time, BJ, to go to Bourbon Street is about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Because 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, what's going on is that all the beer trucks are actually, it's a massive amount of alcohol and beer, right, that's being dropped off. So the street is just laden with distributors with their frozen semis with beer. And then everybody's outside hosing off the sidewalks. You know, and they sweep early in the morning and they do this. Bourbon Street's cleaned every day, okay? And they do this every day. And my friend said when we were driving, or and I can't remember exactly who said this, but so, you know, it's the daily douching of Bourbon Street. And there you go.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
And it kind of has to happen on a daily basis, I think.
Yeah, there's no other way around that. I mean, the first time I ever came here, I was 21 years old. And I saw a girl, and I still have the picture because that was back in the days of disposable cameras. And I saw a girl, and she was bent over throwing up in her purse, and her friend standing with her just rubbing her back.
In her purse. I mean, you might as well just let it go on the street like we talked about, right?
You might as well.
All right, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. I mean, let it go on the street. We got hand grenades in there. We got fishbowl in there. And we got, you know, mule fecal matter. I mean, if you're going to hurl, just hurl on bourbon, baby. Friends, come on back to the NOLA Drink Show.
Need to perish you when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans. Got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bageau heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay in the
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show. Hey, thanks for tuning in this week, friends. Always happy to have you listening. Yep, and like we like to do, we like to let the good times roll here on the show. And yeah, a little Grateful Dead. There you go. I grew up out in California before I moved here some time ago. I say that all the time, too. But I was like, thank you, BJ, for spinning a little Grateful Dead for me, buddy, as you do.
Hey, no problem.
Always makes me happy. Always makes me happy. So, friends, I wanted to mention a couple things that are going on around town. We usually do that at the top of the show, but we had good old Missy Cross here from St. Cecilia right out of the gate. And then we had Matt Sacchini and Dave Greengold from Los Poboycitos here. So we kind of jumped right in. Oh, hey, and one thing I want to mention too. So it is still Negroni week and we have our poll and I decided to extend our poll. And I should have known this when I put the poll together. The poll question for the week was, what is your favorite variation on the Negroni? Okay. And as we talked about last week, and I don't need to go get the podcast if you didn't hear it. There are a huge number of variations on the Negroni. Okay. Negroni is a classic drink, gin, equal parts, gin, Campari, and a sweet vermouth. And then that's kind of a palette that you can play with. You can swap vermouth. You can change the bitter, meaning the Campari. You can change the base spirit, meaning the gin, all this kind of stuff. And so the poll question was asking, what is your favorite variation on the Negroni? So there's a few that are like the probably the most famous is the Boulevardier classic New Orleans cocktail from the early 20th century. And that's where you basically are doing whiskey or bourbon in place of the gin, so on and so forth. So I picked like five or six or seven or eight variations on the Negroni. There's a gazillion. Okay, so the poll question was, what was your favorite variation? I got myself into some trouble because there are so many variations that so many of the respondents chose other and then said, here's my favorite and why, which is great. But what I decided to do then is leave the poll open until Sunday midnight, which is the end of Negroni week, so that you can go answer. So if you go to our Facebook page, we need more data. I have like 100 different answers of different things and nothing is so like the pie chart looks really, really ugly. So, go check it out. If you go to NolaDrinks.com, you go to our Facebook page, which is Nola Drinks. Kind of works that way. The poll is there. You just click on the poll tab on Facebook, go to our homepage. It's there and, check it out. It's actually on our Instagram account as well. So answer the poll, let us know what your favorite variation is on the Negroni. I said I was going to talk about it on the show, so I did. And there you go. Poll's going to stay open and we'll talk about the results no matter what they are next week. Friends, coming up here, Jazz in the Park. I always like to talk about this really cool event coming up this evening. So if you're listening to the show live here on GSO in town, it was supposed to be finishing up last Thursday, June 1st, there at Armstrong Park on Rampart Street, but it got rained out. So they actually are doing the last one tonight with John Clary and the Absolute Monster Gentlemen. That'll be kicking off. I think actually there's probably DJ music going on right now. Music will probably start at about 5:30. I'm assuming Robin Barnes was supposed to be the opening act. I'm assuming that that's the opening act this time. And that'll, you know, opening act 5:30, music probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock with John Clary ends at about 8:30. Really cool event, free, Armstrong Park, go check that out. We talked a little bit about Ponch Train Vineyards and the concert with Los Poboycitos this weekend when Matt and Dave were in. That is going on Saturday evening up at Ponch Train Vineyards, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Up in Bush, Louisiana, which is just north of Covington. And a lot of fun, 6:30 to 9, as I said. You can go show up at the gate. Tickets are $10 a person. Gates open at 5 o'clock. If you want a special deal, get online. Go to PontchartRainVineyards.com. And you can get two admissions and a bottle of wine for $25. The choice of wine is the Voodoo Zinfandel or the Rue Saint-Louis, which is an off-dry Blanc de Bois for just $25. That ends at 3 o'clock the day of the show. That's an online-only offer. 3 o'clock on Saturday, that stops. But there's food trucks out there and wine out there. Los Poboycitos. I cannot emphasize enough the need that you should have to go see Los Poboycitos. They are a fantastic band, and they're actually very humble guys, as you probably got from the interview. But Matt is a fantastic music professor and incredibly knowledgeable about New Orleans music and other things. And Dave, who is also co-owner, as we talked about, of Slice Pizza, as well as Juan's Flying Burrito. So you need to know that. And he is a very talented percussionist and singer as well. They're super cool. The music's super cool. That's why I was really excited to have them on the show. I've known Matt for a while. I didn't really know Dave very well, but there you go. So check that out. And then, of course, Creole Tomato Festival is coming up here this weekend in the French Market, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. World famous French Market there. And a fun event. got Creole Tomatoes. We're kind of in that season. There's a run and a walk that goes on. There's live music that goes on. There's kids activities that go on. So most of it's in the French Market. The Mint Building, the old historic U.S. Mint, is adjacent to the French Market. And there's going to be music going on there. It's a beautiful venue. They've actually built a really cool concert venue at the top floor. BG, have you been there?
I have not been there.
Oh, dude, you got to check that out. The U.S. Mint Building that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. there, right between the Marigny and the French Quarter. This is probably 4 or 5 years, and I could be wrong about that. They put on the very top floor, they built a beautiful concert venue, and the acoustics in there are gorgeous. Awesome. It's a beautiful place to see music. Excuse me. And it's generally operated, it's the Mint, but in partnership with the U.S. National Park. We have a jazz park here. So actually, if I'm not mistaken, it is still the case where the only non-geographically denoted national park in the country is the jazz park.
Okay.
And so their main office is right there in the French Market on Dutch Alley. So that's a physical location where you can actually go, and they do performances there and stuff. But they do a lot of programming, especially during the day. There's a lot of free stuff on the weekends.
Oh, cool.
It's a great venue. So go check that out. There's going to be, I'm assuming, some music there. There's Louisiana cooking demonstration. Of course, we talked with Missy earlier about the Bloody Mary Market. That'll be in Dutch Alley. A whole bunch of people. Felipe's Mexican Taqueria, Green Goddess is going to be there. Cafe Istanbul, interesting, as well as Saint Cecilia, going to be there. Music pretty much going on all day from 10 o'clock when it starts. Here's a really good band playing on Saturday at 10 o'clock on the Dutch Alley Performance Stage, which I'm assuming is the pavilion right there, a little metal pavilion gazebo thingy in Dutch Alley. Daria and the Hip Drops, they are a lot of fun. Go check them out on Sunday, kicking off at that same stage. Lynn Drury, a fantastic folk artist in town. There's like jazz yoga. There's the Shotgun Jazz Band. Oh, hey, they're playing. Big Daddy O's playing. He's a cool great blues guitar player. Little Freddie King's playing on Sunday, closing things out. So a lot of fun, man. Are you going to go check that out this weekend?
Yeah, actually, I was looking for something to do because Brendo is going to be off this weekend. So I think we might cruise down there and check that out. So it sounds really cool, and it's something different. And that's last weekend we got to go for a little while to the Oyster Festival too. So.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, awesome. And yeah, so Oyster Festival is last. We were talking about this last weekend. You know, we kind of wind down a little bit, but there's stuff that goes on all the time. Creole Tomato Festival, as we're talking about. Cajun's Idaho Festival is in a week or two after this. There's Satchmo Fest in August. So there's really no rest for the wicked here. We always go on, but it's a Creole Tomato Festival. BJ's a really fun festival. Creole Tomatoes are in season, and it's just kind of a good time to get out. And it does tend to be a little bit more, to a degree, local oriented. We're always going to have tourists in town this time of year, which is great, and we welcome that. But it's a lot of fun, and you can get your fill of tomatoes, and you can get your fill of Bloody Marys, buddy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I can definitely use Bloody Marys on the weekends.
Yeah, and really any time, right? Well, I mean, we had some today from Missy, right on here on the show. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, also Thursday afternoon here in the radio station, we can have Bloody Marys. There's really no time that's not right. It's a restorative drink, and God knows we all need that every once in a while. But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Creole Tomato Fest. Go check that out. Hey friends, next week we are going to have a really good show for you. Really excited about this. We're going to have two bartenders on, two bar beverage directors, I should say, but bartenders, as I'm sure they would say, Chris Bryant, who is the beverage director at Coquette Uptown, and Jesse Carr, who is the bar manager at Belize, as well as, I'm drawing a blank on the, Jesse, okay, never mind. But he's at Belize Uptown. Okay, I'm totally falling apart. These guys are two of the most creative bartenders of bringing in seasonal ingredients and working with their kitchen to stuff on the plate, stuff in your glass. So tune in next week, friends. It's going to be a really good show. Interesting conversation with Jesse and Chris. Hey, everybody have a great week. Have a good weekend. And until then, here we go. And here comes the thinger. We're cute. Oh, there's the ding. All right, hey, we kind of crash and burn here at the end of the show. Friends, we'll talk to you next week. Cheers.